Jesus, how good he is and how wonderful and how kind and how sweet. He knows you, church. He knows me. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. You're just so good. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I've asked Brother Art to come. I want him to share something with you. Art, I was thinking about that. You've been so good. And he knows right where we are, does he? Does he? After what you told me, I thought, you got to tell this morning.
Everybody, you can be seated, you guys. It's going to be a minute. I believe that what I'm going to share with you today, it will encourage you. I believe it will encourage you. This part of my life, this chapter, this journey, part of my story here, our story, my love, started about 5 years ago. But here most recent, I don't know, many of you don't know, maybe you do. My brother passed away on the 18th of this month. And I was there with him because he wanted me there. He requested that I be there to pray for him. So he's in glory now. He's in heaven. That I am assured of. But through this whole process, I know everybody's got dysfunction in their family. There's not a person in this house that does not have some kind of dysfunction in your family. But count that as all joy unto the Lord. Okay? So through this whole time, I'm sitting here. I'm dealing with a lot of things. My niece, bless her heart, Michelle, she's one that cared for my brother, her father. She cared for him and took care of him and did a lot of things. And she heard a lot of noise from the outside, from family, unknowing, just saying things. And sometimes we talk without knowing. But when you know Jesus, when you know of his name, and you have trusted him, as I have trusted him for 34 plus years. Now, I know some of you have been longer. Bless God. Those of you that have not, get ready, because there's more to come. I count it all joy when I fall into temptation, trials. I know some want to rejoice and get happy. But don't mistake my sorrow and when I'm going through things that I've lost my joy, because I have not. I have not lost it. I'm just going through. I always told Jesus, don't take me out of it. Just help me get through it. I'm not looking for an easy way out. He didn't. So, who am I? So I'm sitting, going through all this, and I'm biting my lip about a lot of things because I'm seeing a lot of ugliness around my brother, and we're trying to keep it away from him. And these spirits and demons do not stop, man. They don't stop, but it's okay. I'm victorious because of what Jesus did. So I know where I'm at, and I know my role, so I'm just standing there. But I'm biting my lip about a lot of things. When he goes to be with my Lord, I was so glad. I couldn't wait to get out of that house because I felt a lot of depression in that house, a lot of ugliness that it was just pulling. I couldn't wait to get around my family, my church family, my own family too. I called my kids together because a little bit of good news came, but I'll get to that in a minute. I had told the Lord I was so exhausted mentally, physically, that I told the Lord, Lord, believe it or not, I know it's going to shock a lot of you here, but I didn't want to talk anymore. I was talked out. I was prayed out. I was hurt out. so bad, so much, that I didn't want to talk anymore. I just stopped the noise, God. So Wednesday night before we came, I wasn't going to come Wednesday night service. I was just so exhausted. But my beloved says, we need to go, babe. We need to be there. You need to be there. I said, okay, I know, babe. So we got ready. We came. And now Wednesday night's just prayer. It's not to pray over anybody. It's just prayer. Just get alone, get a hold of God. So I'm sitting over there, and I just have my head down, just eyes closed the whole time till I went home. And I was telling the Lord in my spirit, I thought, Lord, there's so much noise in my head right now. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. But if you can speak to me, Lord, through this chaos, this madness, please, Father, please speak to me. Speak to my heart. So I sat there. And everybody's praying, and I could hear Pastor praying. And I could hear her voice getting closer to me as she's praying. And I, like I say, I don't look up. I just have my head down. And then Pastor comes over and she puts her hand on my shoulder. And she starts to pray with me. She says, Brother Art, I'm so sorry about your brother. I haven't been able to get around to talk to you about it. Then she began to pray. She just started praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, bless Brother Art. Give him peace. Now, when she said peace, I felt a prick in my spirit, in my heart, because that's what I was praying over my brother the whole time I was there. I was just speaking peace. Peace, Father. Peace. I just kept, with all the noise and all the madness going on, it's just peace. Peace. Peace, Jesus. Peace. Because I know he never had peace. Not the peace of God. He's never had that. So I was speaking that over him. So when Pastor said that to me, I was like, oh, it was like, okay, Lord, speak. Because, you know, he'll use people. You won't necessarily always hear an audible voice, but people will say something or bring something to you. And I trust Pastor. So she started to pray, and she said that, and she started saying, Lord, Brother Art's family, you know, they've chose to live a different life. They've chose to go a different direction. But my brother's been faithful. Art has been faithful, Lord, to you. Bless him. Keep him, Lord. Help him. And so, as she prayed that, in the middle of her prayer, she kind of paused and she just said, justice. Justice. She said, I don't know what that means, Brother Art. I don't know. And she just telling me, and I'm just sitting here. Like I say, I didn't look. She just said, justice, justice. So I go home. We go home. And, you know, I talk to my son. My son calls me, Alex. And, you know, the conversation didn't go well with him and me. And it was like almost like, the devil, sometimes he tries to use your kids. They don't know. That's unknowing when they do things. Family members, if they come at you sideways, don't worry about it, you guys. It's just they don't know. They just don't understand. You just have to know who you are. You have to know who you are and who is in control of your life and everybody's, for that matter. We just came to that knowledge. So I'm sitting there. So I get off the phone. I was late. I was up late with him. So I get up in the morning. This is Thursday morning. And I'm exhausted. I'm just sitting there, and I just, oh, Lord, what a service, you know. And so I'm just sitting there. And since my surgery disability, I don't really I get a lot of this, but we were really tight on our finances, my beloved and I, for the last several months. And because disability was paying me, but then when everything got done and everything, it stopped. So I had applied for Social Security disability, and it's been in the process, so I just let it go. But we had enough to pay our bills because God said, I will meet your needs, not your wants, your needs. So we had enough to pay our bills, and we paid our bills, and we kept faithful to God, and we paid our tithes. We did everything. We had probably maybe about $200, maybe, to last us all month. Because we got paid once a month. We get paid once a month, my beloved and I. So that's for gas and food. And nowadays, eggs, just two slats of eggs, you're spending already $60 right there. So ain't a whole lot. But we were, but bless God, as you can tell, I ain't lost weight, so I wasn't starving. We weren't starving. I had a lovely family. I had good brothers in the house that would take care of us and do things that they just normally do because they love us, and they're good like that. And it's just like I didn't ever, you know, say a whole lot. I had some help along the way, which is, bless God, I was thankful. But I was sitting there Thursday, and I got up, and I'm just looking, and mind you, we were $8 in the minus in our checking. Bless God. We were $8 in the minus, and I'm sitting there, and I open up, and I look at my bank account because we're waiting for our federal check to get in from taxes, and I see $9,000 in my checking account. $9,000. And I started to just praise the Lord and just cry and just look to God. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Lynn tells me, what's wrong? And I said, babe, I said, we have $9,000 in our checking. My beloved, bless her heart, she says, that must be a mistake. Woman of faith. But my true soulmate, and we've been through this stuff. We've been through many trials and tests in our walk with God, and we have not wavered one bit. I might be standing still, but I'm not going back. So if you don't see me progressing forward, don't feel sorry for me, because I'm blessing God in the process. Because where he has me, I am drawing strength from my Father. Because I cannot do it on my own strength. I have none. Absolutely none when it comes to my Jesus. Now, I started to praise him and shout. And I went and I looked, and I got approved for my disability. They said they'd give me a letter, and I heard some family member would tell me they don't give you to the first time when you apply for disability. They usually turn you down, and you have to do this process, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's all good. Either way, you know, at 62, I'll be 61 next month, but at 62, I figure I'll just draw Social Security at 62. No biggie. We'll just make it work, because we always do. So during that time, like I say, I just thought, okay, Lord, I don't serve the world. I serve you. And I remember T.D. Jakes one time saying, favor ain't fair. So, you know, it's just the favor of God. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just bragging on Jesus that sometimes you find favor. But I wanted to say that to encourage, because I know many are going through stuff. Everybody's got a story. Everybody. But don't ever think God has abandoned you or left you at all, ever. Never. Ever. He says in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a truth. That's not my truth. That's God's truth. So when we talk about Jesus and we say we believe, then believe wholeheartedly. It's easy. You know, it's funny. I can always believe for somebody else's blessing, but when it comes for my own self, I kind of struggle a little bit. And I'm, okay, Lord, I know you will. I know you will. And I try to tell myself this over and over and over. But that's where we're at. And when I saw this, like I said, I had all this weight on me and all this stuff, ugliness. But after that, I'm as light as a feather right now, y'all. I'm sitting, this is just a little joke, but, you know, I'm sitting on $9,000, okay? So anyway, and that'd make anybody happy. But I say that, you guys, because, like I say, God is faithful, because it's just your struggles in life. You think sometimes it goes unrewarded or unseen. And maybe sometimes your loved ones around you don't see it. They don't feel your pain, or they don't see the need. But it's okay. Everybody's got busy lives, and everybody's going, going, going. And it's all understandable. But Jesus, Father, I know you saw me and you see me in everything I go through. So I want to give you thanks and praise, Jesus, for everything. I praise you, Father, for my unbelief, because I asked you to help me when I believe, but I help my unbelief. I've said this many times to you, Father. And I've just asked, Lord, that you never leave me, never leave my side. And that I know for sure. If I've ever doubted, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Because now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I've always known, Lord, but sometimes we just trip up along the way and just kind of lose ourselves in everything of the madness around us. But Father, you are faithful. You are just. You are on the throne. You love us. You love every single person on this earth, Lord. And you've given us mercy and grace and opportunity to come to you. So I pray, Lord, we'll come to you and to that knowledge, Father, one day. But I want to thank everybody for listening to me. I hope this encourages someone. Take it to Jesus and know it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long one. It's cross country, man. So hold on. You can shoot out the gate and I'll wave at you as you go ahead of me, but I guarantee you I'll catch up. I will catch up. So you guys, I'm gonna pray to you. I'm gonna pray over finances because I know that's always a big issue with everything, you guys, for everybody. It is. But Father, I just ask God that you would just bless each and every one that's in this house, Father. Father, it all begins, Father, with being faithful tithers, God. Faithful tithers. Father, because all of it is yours, Lord. All of it. There's not one cent that I have, Father, that is not yours. Everything. Some have learned, Father, to give, Father, because they know the blessing of it. Not to get more money back, Father, but just the blessing of knowing that, Father, it's all yours, and I'm so thankful for what you give me. I thank you for what I have. I pray, Father, that if anyone here, Lord, is struggling with their finances, Father, Lord, that you will meet them right there, Father, in their struggle. And I pray, Father, that they'll look up to you and say, Lord, I understand, Father. My struggle is real, Lord. But, Father, so are you. So, Jesus, I pray, Father, blessing over everyone, Father, here, under the sound of my voice, Father, that may need that touch from you, Father. And remember, the touch is of Jesus, not the finances, not the job, not the children that might give you some money, but from Jesus, because he provides for all. He provides for all. Father, I pray we'll be faithful to the house always and love you, Father, till you come. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen and amen.
Now, I want Miss Sandra to come real quick, if you will, Sandra. She paid me $20 that I would ask her to come up here and talk. And so I'll give you an IOU, okay? Sonia, I love you, but you've got to tell these guys what you saw. Was that last Sunday morning or Wednesday?
Sunday morning.
Yeah. Well, give her a little volume. She's probably not going to be as loud as me, but who knows?
Yeah, Sunday, while we was worshiping, I just had an open vision. I was, you know, praising and worshiping, and I just looked up here, just in my spirit, and the whole stage and all down here on the altar was just angels, and just the presence was just so thick, you know, and they were just there. And I just continued to worship, you know. That was so, it felt so great. And then I was, you know, I came down here and I was, you know, worshiping. And then I just saw like a river. And it looked like, you know, the water in a swimming pool. It was so crystal clear, and you could just see blue at the bottom. And it was just going around the church, just going down and around. And then it went down the aisles. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you know, why is everybody you know, setting and nobody's even dipping their toes in that water, you know, all we have to do is just get in that river. You know, that river is just there for us to get in, and it just continued to flow with nobody in it. You know, and I was thinking about, you know, while Brother Art was talking just now, I was thinking, you know, he's been in that river a lot. And look what's happened. You know, there's always reward when you're walking with the Lord. And you get in that river and you kind of make sure you stay in that river and you're not afraid to get in that river. Stuff happens. The Lord visits you. But if we just kind of stay complacent, you know, I stayed complacent, you know, but I learned, you know, step out and get in that river of God, and just, what's it going to hurt to see what he's going to do? You know, he wants to do something. I mean, if he's got angels up here, you know, right here, isn't he trying to say something? If he's got a river flowing, going up and down these aisles, isn't he trying to say something? Is there some reason we don't want to get in that river? Just let him do something in you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Just at least dip your toes in that river. Just get out of those seats and get in that river. Just see what he's going to do. And like pastors talked about, there's revival that wants to break out. But it's not going to happen unless you step out. And that's what I think. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God.
Thank you, honey. Thank you.
So I thank God. And let me tell you what the angels are about. First Peter told us, Kathy, did I put, no, Hebrews, did I put Hebrews? Pull up Hebrews. First, look at chapter 1. We'll stay chapter 1, verse 7, and chapter 1, verse 14. But just put it up there. I won't turn to it at save time, but I'll read it to you off the board there. Hebrews 1, 7. I love this when he talks about the angels. Look, and of the angels, he says, he, God, says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Who makes his angels spirits? And that word translated in the Greek is wind. Who makes his angels like a wind that blows things into our homes and into our lives, and his ministers a flame of fire? And many times in the Bible, I'm not talking on angels today, but just let me go here, because God, it refers to the angels as wind and as fire. And as ministering spirits into, at like servants. Okay, now show us 14. Verse 14, 1 and 14. We have so much available to us, but the thing is, it's all so invisible. And so when Sandra so graciously said to us, so what would it hurt? What would it hurt if we step out in the aisle or move down? What would it hurt? Well, I'll tell you what it would do. It causes a little embarrassment. Maybe a little shyness, a little embarrassment. But look at this, 1:14. We have so much available. Are they not all still talking about angels? You can read that whole chapter. Are they not all ministering spirits? Say yes. Yes, they are, Lord. Sent forth to do what? To minister to who? for those who inherit salvation. And every one of us inherited salvation. And we came to the altar, or you made an altar in the back of your car. And Brother Javier, I will never forget him saying he got saved in the back of a CHP car. Remember that? David Hampton said he got saved in a hospital bed. Thought he was dying. So wherever the altar was, he said the ministering spirits are there. They are sent, and that's the angels. The ministering spirits are the angels who were sent forth. God says, I sent them forth. Forth to where? Forth to the earth to minister to us who inherit salvation. Because when I say they came to earth, they didn't go to heaven. I mean, we're not talking about the angels live there in heaven, but they do a lot of work on earth because the people in heaven have already been perfected by salvation, okay? So created beings don't get salvation. We inherit salvation. We're here on earth. So we've got these ministering spirits that have come to minister to us. I believe they're the ones that went over to your bank, Brother Art, and put $9,000 in your account. They made that happen. Now the Holy Spirit spoke to you and the Holy Spirit brought you peace. But the angels do a lot of work. You know, many people will talk about how they saved you from an accident or this or that or whatever they did. Well, you'll say, well, where were my angels? Well, you know what? Take advantage of what you have. The devil will always try to take you back. Well, that didn't work or that didn't happen that time. Well, let's stay where we are right now. Okay, get the knowledge you can get. So I want you to turn over. Now I'm getting to my message. To 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Whew. I'm telling you, we had a CCW class yesterday. I don't know if I'm cut out for that. I wrote to David's mother. I said, listen, Joyce, from now on, you guys, now this is while I was still sitting over there in that class for 6 hours, bored. So anyway, I said to David's mother, now, look, from now on, you guys can just call me Sister Annie O. And after I went to that gun range and heard all those guns going off, I was deaf until 9 o'clock last night. This morning, my ears are still buzzing and ringing. Annie's going to put that gun down, I think. I told Clara this morning, I said, I'm just afraid if somebody came in my house and I shot that gun, I would drop dead instead of them because the noise, it scares me. So I don't know how that's going to work, David. You might, maybe just you and me go to the range and not all those 20 guns going off. Ooh, man, I don't know how you do it. Why do you want to go hunting like that? Shoot those guns. All right, let's preach. Yes. 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 2, 19. I just feel like the Lord wanted to compliment his people this morning. Just compliment the faithful and those of you that have been so good. You're faithful to him. You've loved him with all of your hearts. And we've all just been through all kinds of fires and trials and tests. And let me just say to you, you know what? If other people had gone through what you went through, they may have lost their minds. If other marriages had gone through what your marriage has gone through, oh my goodness, they would have been divorced years ago. But how did you stand? I would say that scripture David read about a generous man is able to stand. But those ministering spirits come to help. But I just want to say, if other people went through the stuff you went through, how did you do that? You did it by the grace of God. That's how you did it. And he gave you the grace to do it. Not somebody else. You say to people, ooh, I just don't know how you got through that. I just don't think I could. Well, you probably couldn't. But God gave them the grace to get through. Let me just read this to you. In 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, I'm going to read verses 19 through 22. Thank you, Jesus. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God does what? It stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. Now, I'm just telling you, He knows all of us who are His, and we have inherited salvation. So He goes, I know who you all are. Glory to God. The Lord knows who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He says, you stay away from sin. That doesn't belong to you. Don't play with it. Don't flirt with it. Not a part of your life. Verse 20. But in a great house, somebody say, great house. That's what God's house is. Amen? God's house is a great house. Whether it's small or whether it's large. Now, some other translation says in a palace. But I want to talk about the great house. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for honor, and there's some for dishonor. All of this is in a great house. And therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor. Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So he says, if you want to do that, then you got to flee. That means run from youthful lust. And what are you pursuing? He says, well, what you need to then do is pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. Where? With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't run with people. Don't run with people who don't call on the name of the Lord. You run with people who call on the name of the Lord. And you go after righteousness. And you go after faith. And you go after love and peace. That's what Art was after, was peace. That's what I'm after, is peace. The proverb says, riches, honor, and life is in the hand of wisdom. And who is wisdom? Wisdom is Jesus himself. And wisdom and honor and life is everything the people of this world seek after. They all want riches, they all want honor, and they all want life. And so do you and I. We all want that. And you know what? He said, it's yours, just go after it. But flee those youthful lusts. You run away. That girl flirts with you at work, that man flirts with you at work. Don't say, oh, it's... You know, my husband's so ugly when he gets up in the morning. Or my wife's just a yeah, 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 yeah. Well, so is she, but she's just being sweet at work. And he's acting like he's all that. He's as ugly or uglier than your husband when he gets up. So it says, if they mess with you, don't hang out, run. Oh, if you only knew, you'd run so fast and so hard. If you only knew. Well, that's not what I'm preaching on either. But I just wanted to say, you know, from my view as a pastor, pastors and evangelists and teachers, we see the great house. I see this great house. Must be getting old. The watch. You slap it. It says, did you fall down? No. No, I didn't. Well, are you okay? No. Yeah, I'm fine. See, if I didn't tell you all that, you wouldn't know it. Shoot. But anyway, you see the whole church. And I know you guys. I know this. Some of you all may still be sleeping around, taking a joint now and then. You know, you may have hung out, laid in bed with somebody last night. You know, who knows? But I'm just telling you, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you are. And you may have had two abortions, and or you may have paid for the abortion for your girlfriend. Now, the Bible said we're going to have all kinds of people in the house. You're going to have wood and hay and clay, like made out of earth, pretty hard, like hard heart, like the earth. But he said, in every great house, you'll have vessels of honor, vessels of gold, vessels of silver, and everything in the house. So here's all I want to say to you. If you see Susie that came in, and you know she is a disastrous mess, keep your finger from pointing at her. And don't you say one word about her. And if you know him and you know he's a mess, please don't touch him. Don't touch him. Well, they're transsexual, they're homosexual. I want them right here. I want them here. God wants them here. I'd rather them be here than out there. It's a great house. He says, run with people that call upon the name of the Lord. Where two or three are gathered together, I'm with you. But I don't want to talk about those people today. We're all in the house together. And some people your candle's been lit a long time. And your candle is burning, the flame is burning, and it's been burning for 50 years. That's good. But if you just got saved last week and your flame is burning, it's still as bright as mine is. And he will save you today. But see, let me tell you who you are. You know how you got to be golden vessels. You were gold. You are silver, my sister and my brother. You are gold and you were silver. And do you know how you got there? By going through the test and going through the fire and going through the mess. You may not even be here if that divorce hadn't happened. This church may not be here if my husband and daughter hadn't passed. You go through stuff that you just wish you had never gone through and you don't want to tell anyone about it. But when you were put in that oven and you were put in the fire, he said, that's where you were tested and you come out just like pure gold. Woo! He said, when silver is tried, when a woman or a man or a child or a teenager is tried and tested, guess what happens? And you come through it standing with your head up and your shoulders back. And people look at you and say, how in the world did you do that? Because you know who he is. And even when you don't see him, he's working. Even when you don't feel him, he's working. Never stop. He never stops working. And he said, when you come through that fire and you made it, whoo, you made it. You didn't know if you would, but you did. You thought, Lord, you helped us through that, but I don't know if you'll help us through that. This one, God, you helped me get through that, but how about this? I don't know. Well, he said, but when you do get through, you are more precious, Ariel. He said, you come out more precious than gold. Gold is pretty precious. But he said, when you get through, you come through very precious. I love the word. Don't you love it? Hallelujah. Job said, he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I will come forth as pure gold. Now, I want you to look at Luke chapter 4. Now, if Satan tried to mess with Jesus, we already know he messes with us, and he sure tries to. Look at this. Are you in Luke chapter 4? Verse 1. And then Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, look at it. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, in the charismatic renewal of the 80s, they didn't want to preach that. I mean, you wouldn't hardly find a Pentecostal preacher anywhere that would preach the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, because the Holy Ghost don't do that. Well, I'm just saying, he didn't tempt him. The devil tempted him. But the Bible even says this about the children of Israel. In those 40 years, he said he tested them to see if they believed in him or no. So it said Jesus, though, was filled with the Holy Spirit when he went in. And I'll tell you this, that's what makes a difference. However you go into a trial, that's how you come out. And this is why you who are gold and gold, gold and silver, this is how you were able to stand. Because you're already filled with him. And when you were filled, then however you go in, that's how you're going to come out. Now, you may have your head ducked low, and you may be sitting there, as our brother said, you can't even talk anymore. You just prayed out. You just talked out. What else can I say, Lord? Well, he was led by the Spirit there, verse 2, and being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And he was tested by who? He was tempted by who? The devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was what? Oh, my goodness, you know he was. He was so hungry. But look what the devil does here. He comes and tries to change his hunger. He wants to get his hunger changed. Look at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said, verse 3. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command the stones to be made bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Satan says, if you were the Son of God, if, so he puts a doubt in his mind. How often does he come to you and say, well, if you were a Christian, if you were really a man of God, if you were really a woman of God, if he did it to Jesus, he'll do it to you. And so he knew some things, and Jesus knew it wasn't his time yet, but learn something right here. The Bible says that the love of God will constrain us. That means it will hold us back. And this is one of the greatest examples I know of that constrainment, when Jesus held himself back, when he knew he was just about ready to do miracles. And he had the same anointing that day that he was going to have later. And so the devil said, he knew he was hungry. Been 40 days and 40 nights. And so he says, well, look, if you were the Son of God, you could just, you know, change those rocks to bread and eat. Just go ahead. You got the power to do it. And Jesus wasn't going to jump ahead of God. He said, it is written, Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, he wouldn't let him do it. He said, no, I'm not bowing you. I'm not doing what you want me to do. Satan was trying to change his hunger. Now, let me tell you something, folks. When you are hungry for God, you've been hungry for him a long time. But when you're really hungry for him, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to try to change your hunger and make you hunger for something else or somebody else. Or, you know, somebody told me, you know, I thought we had a pretty good Bible study Wednesday night. It wasn't really a Bible study. I mean, we had a little devotional, but I always try to you know, I don't try to. I get revelation from God on a little piece of scripture. And we went to the book of Hebrews, and it told us when we pray who we're praying in front of. So I'm at the gun class yesterday, and a lady came up to me who frequents us now and then. And she says to me, "Do you know of any church that has a Bible study? I'd like to go to a Bible study." I said, "No, I don't." No, I didn't. I said, "Well, yeah, honey. I mean, you can find churches that just teach a word line upon line." And there was a time for probably 2 or 3 years we did that right over there. I taught 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the book of Revelation, the book of Romans, Proverbs. You know, we went through all of it. And so that's what she meant, Bible study. She just wanted that. So I don't begrudge her for that. But I'm just saying, sometimes we get so into self and we're so mature, we need something more. I'm not saying you can't do that, but she missed Wednesday night. And it could have been a real blessing to her. But see, he will try to change her hunger. And okay, she would say, "Whoa, I just received the word and I love it and I love Landmark." But what happened? By the next day, the Satan was trying to, he didn't try, he did it, change her hunger. "I don't want this anymore, I want this." And let me tell you, have you ever just really been hungry for something? You're hungry for something, you're going to somebody's house for dinner, and they said, "Look, here's what we're going to have." You get your taste buds all set for that, and you get there and they're like, "Oh shoot, I was missing a couple ingredients, and so we're going to have spaghetti." Like, "Oh, shoot. Oh, good. I just love spaghetti." So they changed your hunger, but you still, you know, it didn't satisfy you. And so if you allow Satan to change your hunger, it's just going to stay right there. You're not going to be satisfied. So look at this. So then Satan accuses them. If you were, I'm just telling you, you are. You are a woman of God. You are the righteousness of God. You are a man of God. Quit being so hard on yourself and know who you are in Jesus. It's only in Him. All right, so let me prove it. Satan is so stupid. All right, look at 3 in verse 21, Kathy. Please. Luke 3 and 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven opened up. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him." Look at this. "And a voice came from heaven which said," and we know that voice is who? It's God the Father. "And that voice said, really loud, 'You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, I think it's in Matthew where it says everybody heard it. So see, that voice came out and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And they saw the dove come and it lit upon his head. And I mean, just stayed there. They all saw it and they all heard it. They heard it. And the devil heard it. He heard it. So see, when he hears something about you from heaven, he'll come down and tell you that's not true. If you really are the Son of God, the only thing is that Jesus knew exactly who he was. So Jesus said, "Nope, not going to do that. I'm hungry, but it's not my time." So Jesus didn't turn the bread. He didn't turn the stone to bread. Let me see if I can. Oh, and then he goes on to say, "Look, if you were the Son of God, you could just jump off that cliff, and then you wouldn't have to go to that cross, and the angels would save you. Just jump." Well, he wouldn't do that either. But here's the deal. Here's two things I want to tell you. Those angels she was talking about. See, Jesus kicked Satan out. I mean, he rebuked him, and it says he left him for a season. And Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with jumping off and the angel saving him because he knew it wasn't time yet. But the Bible says at the end of that 40-day fast, when he was so hungry, God sent those same angels that we read about in Hebrews 1:14. He sent those same angels, and the Bible said those angels ministered to Jesus. They ministered to him. I don't know if they brought him a cake or Oreos and milk or probably popcorn. You know, you got to eat lightly when you haven't eaten in 40 days. Anyway, the angels came and ministered to him. So whatever it is that Satan tries to take from you, if you stay strong and you keep your faith and your love and your peace in Jesus, he will turn that thing and it will come back to bless you 100 times more than what Satan offered you. And then he said, no, I won't turn that stone to bread. But what did he do to the 5,000 people? They were just hungry maybe for a day or two. And he fed them all with bread. He gave them 5,000 people bread. Filled them with bread. He wouldn't do it, but he gave it to them. And then he talks about in the book of John, he said, your forefathers, they ate bread in the wilderness and they're dead. They ate the manna that came down from heaven. They ate heaven's bread. They ate that manna, but they're all dead. But he said, I am the bread of life. I'm it. And I came down from heaven. And he said, you will eat of my body and drink of my blood. And his critics said, what? He's demonic. He's blasphemous. And even his disciples said, what are you saying? And it said they didn't understand his words. But Jesus knows how to break things down so we understand it. So I'm just saying to all you golden vessels in this house, and if you feel like that you're a clay or you got a big old hard heart in you, let me tell you, Jesus, he said, I'll trade you. If you give me that old hard heart, I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll fill it up with love and I'll fill it up with my Holy Spirit. And I'll put the wind and the fire in that will disperse stuff from you. And so he gives us bread that we might go out and feed others with it. So church, I just want to tell you, don't let the devil steal your hunger. Because I know you're all hungry for God. How many's hungry for him? Stand with me this morning. I know you are. You want more. You want to see more. You want to know more. Now keep reading your Bibles. He said, now until I come, do this. Wasn't a really big deal. He said, until I come, you read your Bibles. Keep reading. And bring exhortations. That means encourage each other. And then believe the doctrines. What's Landmark's four doctrines? Our four doctrines are this. We believe in salvation. If somebody says to you, what does your church believe? Well, here's the doctrines I preach and we take together. Salvation by the blood of Jesus. So we can all remember salvation. And in baptism of the Holy Spirit, we teach in being filled with the Spirit. Number three, we believe in divine healing. And number four, we believe that Jesus is soon to return. That's our doctrines, and we're sticking to it. That's our story, and we're sticking to it. I'm going to ask you to come and pick up a cup and go back to your seat, and let's have communion together. Would you come? Come on. There's three tables set up. And when you pick it up, put in your heart and mind that you are picking up the body of Jesus. I'm the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Pick up the body. Pick up the blood. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. All your plans softly. Why don't you take the bread? Take the bread up in your hand. Oh, Jesus. You said they ate bread that they found on the ground. You said that bread came down from heaven. It was manna, and they said, what is this? And Lord, we eat this little wafer, and in our minds we think, well, what is it? I mean, what's the significance of it? But you told us that they ate and died, but you said now from now on, new covenant, you eat my body when you eat this bread. So Lord, today we partake of your precious body. You were in that wilderness all by yourself, fighting off wild animals and demons so that we wouldn't have to. So you said, just take this bread, and as often as you do it until I come, remember me. And Lord, we remember your love for us. We remember how the angels came to you and how you have sent them to us. And we thank you for divine health and divine healing as we eat your body today. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen, and let's eat together. Bless the Lord. Just thank him for your healing in your legs. Those of you having migraine headaches, believe God that you'll never have another one. Those in the intestinal tract or your stomach, wherever you're having issues, we ate your body, Lord. We did that. May your healing fall on this corner, this little lot of 7 acres that you saved for this church and for this body. For years you saved this land for us, and we're here. And so let your healing rivers flow this day in Jesus' name. And the Bible says then at that Last Supper, they took the cup, they lifted it up. And Jesus said, now at one time they drink the blood of a little white spotless lamb, in the evening time a little male. But he said, now you were eating in the evening time, you were drinking the blood of another lamb. But it's a man. I'm a male. Just like they ate the lamb coming out of bondage and drank the blood. You put the blood over the doorpost. Now you put the blood over the doorpost of your mind, your heart, your house, your home, your marriage, your finances, your lost loved ones. Lord, we put the blood over us. As we live in this world, but we're not of it. Thank you, Jesus. Keep us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we receive your blood. All that love him, say amen. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and praise him as we sing about the amazing grace that saved a wretch just like us. Church, we were once lost, but now, hallelujah, we're found. We were blind, but now we see by the word of God. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and give him a praise out loud, church? Tell him hallelujah. Come on, praise the Lord. Bless his name. Lord, your mercy endures forever. Is he good, church? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he turn his beautiful countenance toward you and give you peace and love all over your home, your marriage, your finances, and keep you from all harm and danger in Jesus' name. Amen.